This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is Hard Factor.
And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
To another episode of Hard Factor presented by the Barstool News Network. It is What the Fuck Wednesday, May 27th, 2020. And first up, before we get going, there is a new Hard Factor Shades logo tee in the Barstool store. It looks sweet. It's like the Macho Man is staring into your soul with our logo on it. It's really nice. So pick one of those up for sure. You'll be looking very fresh for the summertime in that.
Yeah, it looks great. It came out the same day as our first radio episode. It came out the same day as our first being on Roku.
Yeah,
pretty big.
Yep.
Pretty big.
Our merch is kind of tracking with us. The Shades tee, great tee, but rudimentary compared to this new Macho Man tee. It gets better as we get better. The merch does. Get in there. It's the best shirt we put out yet, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a collector's item, as you guys mentioned. Yeah. So, Wes, thank you for working on the design.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I just want to point out it's got the five stars, which is an homage to our constant requests from you all to give us five stars. It's also got the hexagon, which is a little homage to the Hardo Hive, you know, the honeycomb shape. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of
I think they call that an homage. But
did I say homage?
You can't spill those things, Wes. Those are things that people need to discover organically while they're high.
It's a homage.
Did I say homage or homage?
I think you said homage.
Homage.
Yeah.
It's Amish.
It's a silent H, I believe.
Yeah.
As Mark mentioned, it was also our first day of Barstool Radio. Go to SiriusXM.com/Barstool Radio. Get signed up and listen to at least Thursday for free. We're going to be on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, 11 a.m. to noon Eastern, until they tell us to leave. So go sign up so you can listen to there. But it's What the Fuck Wednesday, which means we have a ton of crazy stories buzzing in from all the murder hornets in the Hardo Hive. Wes, get us going.
All right, guys, let's kick it off today with one from Mark's wife, and it really hits close home, close to home for me, as it deals with my main profession of 10 years before we started this podcast, and still to this day, hopefully not much longer if you bastards buy some t-shirts, that being wedding photography and videography. So I don't know if you guys have all gotten married. You know how it works. The way it works is you reserve a wedding date. Couples pay their video person a deposit to, usually it's about 50% of the total package.
Overpay.
Overpay.
The gold or the platinum package?
Yeah.
It depends.
Definitely usually expensive.
Right.
Wes is basically in the con man industry.
Yeah, I've collected a few deposits without doing anything in my day, and it's been fantastic. But, you know,
that's got to be the best.
Yeah. So, I mean, some of these fuckers charge upwards of like $6,000 a package, so it's like $3,000. It's no small sum of money. Anyway, sometimes shit happens, like a pandemic, or the couples break up, or the bride dies in a tragic car accident, which
What?
Yeah, that's it. Sometimes that happens, which is unfortunately. What happened in this story to a Colorado couple? They had to go through this in February when the bride died. So what happened was when the groom, Justin Motney, collected himself, he tried to collect a refund from the videography company he had hired, which he paid $1,800. But the videography company said they could not refund the money as most deposits are non-refundable.
That doesn't fall under act of God?
It depends on what the contract says. It's really up to what you're wording in the contract. I just stole a contract from the internet, so I don't really know what legal.
What does that guy care about money anymore? His fiance just died.
Right. Yeah. We may pay for the funeral with it. I don't know.
Well, you only have one income now, so you gotta get your money back.
Yeah, it's tough stuff. So what the videography company did, instead of giving a refund, they said that Justin could put it towards a later date, a later wedding.
They didn't.
Don't worry, pal. You'll find love again after years
someone.
Of therapy and heartache.
If we're still in business when you find your second wife,
right?
You got it.
Yeah. So Justin took their response, which he was very upset about, to social media. And when the story spread, some people were outraged and started leaving all kinds of bad reviews on social media on the things they pay for advertising, which is death for a video or photo company like that. Bad reviews.
Well, had they just not offered a future date and just like said no, they probably would have been fine.
Well, yeah, there's a bunch of emails, and it's too long of a story to really go over. There's a bunch of emails that went back and forth. They did offer him, they did basically say, sorry, it's not refundable. He went back at them. That's when they, offered this later date. He was like, okay, well, I want, 10 years from now, I want to be able to use this. But, at this point, he had lost his shit. So,
did they offer to videography the funeral?
No, they did not do that. They pretty much ghosted him.
Yeah, they
should have
just swapped the occasion.
Not as fun of a video, but still important.
No. Yeah. What they did is pretty much ghosted him, and that's what really pissed him off.
Right.
So the owner, so like I said, a bunch of bad reviews came in. So the owner of this Copper Stallion Media, which I think is like a company that just is like, does a bunch of weddings. They hire out videographers to do their own shit. It's not like one guy. They bought JustinMotney.com, which is this guy's name, and they redirected all their social media sites to this site. And on that website, read a message that said, quote, he admits the contract was non-refundable, but says we should give the money back due to the circumstance. Life is a bitch, Justin.
Yeah. They shamed the guy trying to get his money back for his fiance dying.
They started an internet war with this guy.
Oh,
it sounds a lot like the people that work at Golden Stallion or whatever chose the wrong business to go into. They ended up in weddings. They really shouldn't be in weddings.
Not people, are they? The website of this guy, looked it up. It's just basically like their, like court documents. Like, here's an email he wrote. Here's a voicemail he left. Wow. Like, it's a long rap sheet against this guy.
That'll win back the one-star reviewers. This is right. A good
isn't
move.
Colorado,
yeah.
Isn't Colorado the place with the bakery that refuses to serve gay people, too? It's like,
yes, I think it was.
They just have a lot of, like, curmudgeon-y store owners and proprietors.
Well, this place is actually out of Dallas. It's like one of those, like I said, it's one of those companies that just, it's like a fucking factory. So it's not really owned by one single person. They just hire out videographers. They don't give a fuck about their clients. Apparently they've refused to pay their employees in the past. A bunch of employees came out against them. It's a mess, this company. So
what's the inside baseball here, Wes? What's your take? What's the inside baseball?
Oh, I mean, it's $1,800.
Would you do this?
You're going to ruin your fucking business for $1,800? No, you give the money back.
Yeah.
Give the money back.
Okay. Yeah. You get the money back. I mean,
the website was them fighting back against bad reviews. That's what they were trying to do.
Blaming him for ruining their business at this point. Yeah. I mean, I've had people.
Well, they ruin their business by just not giving them money.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've had.
You
I
ever
mean,
get
I had
so a, angry you just learn how to code.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, I had a bunch of people cancel from the coronavirus. I didn't. I'm transferring their dates. All kinds of bullshit. It sucks, but I mean, if a couple breaks up because they just didn't work, I keep the deposit. Anyway.
Well, right, but that is like the known one, right?
Yeah.
You know Wes, that one going in, deciding that deal.
Wes has like a code of rules. Death, you get your money back. Murder, you get your money back. Cheating on, gray area. How long did you know about it?
That's a no refund. Yeah. That's a no refund.
Breakups, no.
If one of the parties getting married sleeps with Wes, he keeps the deposit.
Right.
He's got a list.
So they just did not stop. And this is what really made it go viral. This is the fucked up post they put, I think, on Instagram. It's a picture of Justin and his fiance, and the quote in the Instagram post is, today would have been the day where we would have filmed Justin and Alexis's wedding. After what Justin pulled with the media stunt to try to shake us down for a refund, we hope you sob and cry all day for what would have been your wedding day.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, and then they said, sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. Yep. Yep.
Holy shit. Why the fuck are they doing this to this guy?
Dude, they lost. They're on tilt like that guy in Virginia who tried to fake his death to get out of bankruptcy.
This is absurd. But they're a big company.
Right. You don't code a website on tilt. It takes premeditation, man.
Well, no, that's too far. That's way too far.
Way too far, yes. And then apparently they posted another post about a former employee that had killed herself like 2 years ago, but they made it look like it had just happened and were blaming it on this incident. So they were trying to, like, yeah. So they're just They're all
psychos.
Justin asking for his $1,800 back caused an employee to kill herself.
Yep.
Total meltdown.
Tow truck.
What's the name? What's the name of the company?
Copper Stallion Media. They're out of Dallas, apparently. They're basically the websites are all like shut down. I tried to look them up
in case you had time on your hands today and wanted to fuck with someone.
Oh yeah, these people deserve it. This is a soft corner, really. I mean,
you
fuck.
Guys, your homework is to leave two reviews today, guys. A 5-star review for us and a 1-star review for Copper Stallion.
Yeah, they might as well have exhumed.
Don't mix them up.
Exhumed Alexis's body and photoshopped her in that photo next to or Athena's body. Is that bad?
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, if you want to see the full story, it's JustinMontney.com. That site is still up, the one that's shaming this poor dude.
Not for long.
It's fucked up, yeah.
All right, first off, let me start off by saying we are pro boys and girls in blue on this show. We have a lot of law enforcement listeners and heroes like the Dutch Hammer, mm-hmm. who sent us one of his old uniforms, and we appreciate all you do for us and everyone. That being said, we aren't a big fan of racist murdering piece of shit cops. And Tater sent in this story that is probably one of the biggest stories of the week. And that is now 4 Minneapolis police officers have been fired. So they're no longer cops. So there you go. And that's because 3 of them watched one officer put his knee on George Floyd's neck with pressure for 5 minutes while he pleaded that he couldn't breathe until he couldn't plead anymore because he passed out and soon died at a local hospital.
That is a disturbing. I haven't even seen the full video. The still image is disturbing.
It's long. It's long video. It's most of the 5 minutes.
It's up there with the Aubrey video in disturbingness. It's very, very fucked up.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a murder. Yeah. The majority of the incident was caught on video, and bystanders were also pleading with the officer to stop putting his knee on Floyd's neck. But the officer didn't stop or do anything, really. He just kept his knee on the neck. It was just a slow, what appears to be murder with like a dozen witnesses. There was 3 police officers and at least 3 people that were filming it and bystanding. So like there's 6 people just standing around.
Why didn't the guy just like, put him in cuffs and not have his knee on his neck?
He did put him in cuffs. We'll get to that.
It was the hate.
It was all the hate, probably. And that's why the FBI is investigating Will and Pat. The FBI is investigating the incident. I'm not sure why. I guess it's the hate. What are they going to do? Like, I guess they probably check the officer's browser history. And if they find any red flags, like any of them being in racist Facebook groups or penchant for searching for black guy fucks my wife when I'm at work on Pornhub, then they will probably slap some hate crimes in there. And, you know, that's probably what they're doing.
Yeah. I feel like you're miscategorizing that particular sect of pornography, Mark. That's some people take pleasure in that.
Look, man, I'm whatever. I'm some just saying pay I think for that's what FBI's doing. You heard what I said, Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Fry said the technique used to pin the man's head to the ground was against department regulations. No shit. The knee to the neck until suspect dies is an illegal hold. Shocker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody who sees the still image of his positioning knows it was not a move they teach you to do.
And the piece of shit cop had his hand in his pocket like nonchalantly the whole fucking time.
He wasn't trying to do anything else besides choke him out.
It was terrible.
Yeah, unless the Minneapolis police force is like the 1990s UFC with absolutely zero rules and weight classes, it probably was an improper technique.
He had like a cattle prod and the claw.
Yeah.
And he's just like it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. I mean, the guy, they you know, deservedly actually.
Well, and this is where the, you know, Philando Castile, he got shot in the car in St. Paul, which is, you know, Minneapolis, same deal. It's like the second cop murder in 3 years.
Well, at least, I guess. The officers responding to an alleged forgery on Monday and saw Floyd, who fit the description, sitting on top of a car, or he was on top of the car. And then when they finally got there, he was in the car. They're claiming he appeared intoxicated. They threw him out of the car, cuffed him, and then threw him on the ground. And that's when the video starts. He was already cuffed when he was squeezing
his head.
Cuffed. So he couldn't like wiggle his way free. He was cuffed on his stomach. And just got killed. Protests are obviously going on, some being organized by the NAACP of Minneapolis. I mean, what the fuck, guys? Like, what the fuck is wrong with these 4 cops? What the fuck?
Seems like a big problem. They're taking action. At least they're. I mean, but it doesn't absolve what happened. Obviously, it's terrible.
No, it needs to stop. Taking to the internet, Amy Klobuchar said on Twitter, "We heard his repeated calls for help. We heard him say over and over again that he could not breathe. And now we have seen yet another horrifying and gut-wrenching instance of an African-American man dying. Also, You might as well sell your stocks on me as VP on Predict It Now, because after Joe Biden's fuck up on Breakfast Club with the you ain't black comment and this white police officer killing a black man begging for his life on camera right under my nose in Minneapolis, it's not going to be me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's so. More than 180 characters now Twitter has.
It was like a 1 of 3, 2 of 3, 3 of 3 thing. Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. She also said, sell your stock on Predict It.
A thread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it.
All right. Well, thanks for covering that one, Mark. Not easy story to talk about, but definitely one that people need to know about. All right, let's move it over to something a little bit more fun. This one comes from Hive member Alex Schneider, and it's about a man in Crawford County, Indiana, who was having a hell of a time floating the Blue River last Saturday. For those of you who haven't floated a river while drinking alcohol, it's one of the most fun things possible to do while getting blitzed. It's like
your genitals getting touched all day long.
It's top five most fun things to do easily.
Yeah
It's if you're boozing, definitely one of the best ways to spend your day. And that's what this unnamed man was doing. He was floating on a raft, a rubber raft, down the river by himself, getting hammered on a bottle of rum that was
solo. I love it.
Yeah, so I'm imagining he was just ripping cigs and joints if he had them out there with him, whatever. You know, just that's river life. That's
taking a day
life.
For himself. He's like Huck Finn.
Exactly. It's, you feel like you're Huck Finn. Except
Huck Finn's the later years.
Yeah, Huck Finn's the
later degenerate
years.
Huck Finn. Yeah, that's what river floating's all about. He ran into a problem that many river floaters run into, and that's that he passed out in the raft. So just too chill of an experience. He was having too good of a time, passed out in the raft. I've passed out in the raft. You guys passed out in the raft floating before?
Yeah, but you also practice the buddy system, Will.
Of course, I was with others who woke me up,
If you're a solo floater, you got to moderate.
Wes has fallen asleep every time.
No, blackout every time, but I don't think I've ever fallen asleep.
I'm more on Wes's page. I haven't passed out.
Oh, I've actually fallen asleep more than blacking out on the river. Anyhow, that's a different conversation. So the problem about falling asleep on this river, he floated 7 miles downstream of the Blue River before washing ashore, and he almost went into what's called the Boiling Milltown Dam. That doesn't sound good. Luckily for him.
That would have been a Freudian Darwinism, a Darwin death. Right?
Just dies in the boiling dam.
Yeah,
for sure.
Why do they call it the Boiling Milltown Dam?
I didn't Wikipedia it, unfortunately, didn't have time. Luckily for him, though, the conservation officers, Neil Brewington and Jim Schreck, found the man on the river, but they were unable to reach him with either throw bags or by screaming at him from the bank. So they set up like a line to catch him in case he made it all the way to the boiling dam, but he never made it there. He washed ashore a couple miles ahead of that. So he was given a medical. Huh?
I bet if they fished that rum bottle from him, he would have woken up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure. That's the only way to get you.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you had even like just slightly like removed a shot from it, he would have woken up. Yeah. But he was given a medical exam by the officers, and he was booked on public intoxication and nothing else. So honestly, for this guy, it's an amazing story and a pretty light charge. So I don't know. He might not be too upset about
it. First timer this happened to him? I don't think so.
He'll be back.
This isn't even that embarrassing.
No, he'll be back.
Good for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to bring some. He should bring some friends next time. Then he won't fall asleep. He won't.
That's the ticket.
Anyways.
He's got to make some first.
Well, I don't know. You think
he's got to mend a few bridges before he does that.
We were kind of gassing him up for solo floating, but let's be honest, guys.
He's got to apologize to a few people before he can bring him out to the river.
Yeah, convince him he doesn't have a problem.
By himself is like when you see a middle-aged man
changed.
On a mountain.
Do you guys
want to
go float the river?
That's a good point. You have some skeletons if you're floating solo. Yeah. But that story was also brought to us by Captain Landon of the Hardo Hive, and he's got a hot predicted tip this week for us, and that is to buy big on Val Demings for the Democratic VP. Wes, you mentioned this already on the show. You're big in on Val Demings. How's that stock going for you?
It hasn't changed. It's actually gone down a little bit since I picked it up, but I know he is vetting Val. And like Mark was saying earlier with the all the stuff that's going on. Yeah, Florida. You know, she was a former sheriff in Orlando. She's, you know, she doesn't have like a ton of experience. I think she's a she's a representative.
Well, let's be clear what you're talking about. Let's not dance around the elephant in the room. The Breakfast Club, Charlamagne tha God said, we want, you know, black people want a black woman vice presidential candidate. And that's been the tone for a while for this. And after some things that have been going on, I would say that's probably likely to happen.
Yeah. And Biden said, we are considering multiple.
I think it's smart to go with it. She's 9 cents right now.
I'm with that thought process. I also like the no on Amy Klobuchar at 82 cents. That seems like a good deal after this this last mix up. Kamala Harris, she is still the favorite on predicted at 36 cents. I don't really know if I feel like she's just been the favorite all along. Maybe she does get it in the end, but maybe not. I like the combo of Liz Warren and Val Demings.
I like Val Demings.
Cortez Mastro too.
I like Val Demings a lot.
Yeah. I've got like 2,500 shares of Val Demings right now. I'm really hoping.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
Ooh, big payday. Remember, go to predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20 to get your first $20 matched on us in the stock market of politics. We're going to do some more deep diving into those markets soon to get some other good ones out there as the general presidential campaigns heat up.
All right, this next one is from PFITS. Thank you, as always, PFITS. So, guys, we have covered a number of stories about nature taking back what belongs to them during the pandemic. Alligators showing up on library steps, elephants crossing major roads never seen before. Just marvelous shit. However, with the lack of restaurants and bars open, there is one animal that is not thriving as much during this pandemic. And surprisingly, it's one of the animals that helps spread the bubonic plague through its fleas, and that is the rat. So,
I would have thought rats would have been doing good with everybody. Oh, maybe because people are home and they can't be out as much.
It's the restaurants. They love the restaurant dumpsters and the food that the restaurants throw out. That's like one of their main food sources. It's
Ratatouille. Like,
yeah, Ratatouille. Yeah. So,
they're just pissed.
They're pissed. Yeah, not enough dumpster food for these. Yeah, they're pissed and they're more brazen to get the food they need and apparently they're turning on each other. So apparently there's like rats have a very low tolerance for hunger, and as soon as that hits, they start turning on each other. They start killing and eating their young. They start killing and eating the younger rats.
Wow.
And that's what's happening. Yeah. And it's only a matter of time before they turn on humans.
Well, it's the last time I defend rats. I've been big on rats the past couple. You know, times we talked about rats.
You've been defending rats?
I sure have.
Till
now.
I can see defending a mouse, you know, but not, I don't know about a rat. Yeah, a mouse is kind of cute.
Not rats as in snitches, not human rats, but rats as in, like, you know, they've been getting a bad name with, you know, the fake plague blamings and stuff like that. Just been, and I think they're kind of cute, but fuck them.
No, let me tell you, my son has a pet rat at his mother's house, and it's still disgusting. And it's gross. Right. And
I'm off rats.
And also, you have to tell people that you have a pet rat.
Right.
That's fine. Yeah. I'm off rats. You've convinced me. Okay. I'm off rats. All right.
All right. So according to Bobby Corrigan, an urban rodentologist and nation's preeminent rat expert and weirdo, people are going to start seeing these rats and they'll say, where do these rats come from? The answer is they probably didn't come from too far, maybe a block or two away. He went on to say, we don't want those animals in our apartments, houses, restaurants, or grocery stores because you end up playing disease lottery if that happens. They carry like 55 diseases and they're just the worst thing to have in your fucking house. And it sounds like, you know, in order to avoid infestation, we just start throwing our garbage, you know, on the streets, let them eat, instead of keeping it, you know, in our house. So, I don't know. 2020 is shaping up to be real, real, real bad, guys.
You got murder hornets. Yeah. You got rats.
Right.
You said it's shaping
hungry
up.
Hungry rats coming after each other, after you.
Right. But going to the internet, Angie Rasmussen, actually Pry This Mask From My Cold Dead Face Herald, has a plan. He says, this seems like a perfect time to test the efficacy of lamb's blood as a supernatural ward. One third is a control group using red paint on their doors. One third uses lamb's blood. And the final uses human blood in case the devil is in charge now. So he wants to do a whole experiment with lamb's blood to see if we can ward off these rats.
That's some kind of biblical thing?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's a biblical thing.
What? Hey guys, Father's Day is coming up, so give Dad the gift he really wants this year, perfectly aged tender steaks. Omaha Steaks will deliver the world's best steaks and a huge variety of other favorites directly to your dad's door. Right now, Omaha Steaks is offering our listeners access to a variety of amazing packages that are perfect to send Dad for Father's Day. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code FACTOR into the search bar. You'll see all the great options available, many that include free shipping and a free one-pound package of the perfectly cured, incredibly thick Applewood smoked steak-cut bacon. There are many packages available that are perfect for Dad, and they're all ready to be shipped straight to his door in time for Father's
Day.
Just
imagine a father making the house smell like thick-cut Applewood smoked bacon.
Yeah, and I went on the site. We got some amazing steaks shipped to us, and they were delicious. But I also went on the site last night just to, and once you go in the search bar, you type in H, hard factor, like pre-types. Boom, hit enter, check out all the deals. Make your dad's house smell great. They got it all. World-famous Omaha steaks, naturally aged at least 21 days for tenderness and hand-carved to perfection. Burgers, Frank, sausages, and other favorites. Perfect for grilling. It's grilling season. Premium poultry and pork cut by Omaha Steaks butchers and individually sealed for freshness and flavor. Right now, Father's Day packages are ready to order and ready to ship, and many include free shipping and a free pound of steak-cut bacon. Oh. So you want that house smelling like bacon, why don't you do it for free? Omaha Steaks delivers guaranteed quality and safety with every order, so send Dad a gift of food he'll love this year. Visit omahasteaks.com and type FACTOR in the search bar to shop for Father's Day today. Get it done. Get it done before it's too late. And I got another fun story for you guys now. This one comes from Cody Sparks. An Omaha man was arrested in the killing of a registered sex offender because he was fearful the man would offend again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So vigilante justice.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. This guy also a father. And protector of children. So this guy, before, I think he's in jail now, we'll get to it, but hopefully he got some Omaha steaks. Anyways, did he catch this guy masturbating to a Little League practice, you might ask? Right?
That
probably would have been a dead giveaway for a repeat offense, right?
Oh, well,
I guess
some
he had to catch him doing something bad, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, but I'm going to have a little fun with this fucked up story because that's a perk of the job. All right, so what happened? 43-year-old James P. Fairbanks, who was an Omaha public public schools employee before he got suspended for murder, allegedly shot 64-year-old Matteo Condolucci to death in his house. So killed him,
huh?
Yeah.
So right. Yeah, his former wife came out and said, yeah, he probably did it because he was acting on his instincts to protect children. So that was nice of his ex-wife to come out.
Well, how did he know old Matteo was up to something?
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
He's like a precog?
Yeah, he could have been a precog. He had that face app that they developed that he knew he would commit crime again. Fairbanks has no history of violent crimes on record, but his ex-wife did apply for protection orders against him in 2016 and 2018 when they were going through a divorce. Apparently, he kept like sending threatening text messages while out drinking with his boys, and he also threatened to scorch the earth and kill a family friend that was buttoned in too much in the divorce, I guess.
That's not too bad.
That's average. Pretty typical.
Yeah.
That's average.
Hey, boys, right. check out this text I'm about to send.
Yeah, exactly.
She's not going to be happy about that.
You're not taking my two sons away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sword guy, too. I mean, we've covered that people going through those situations say some crazy stuff.
Yeah. You guys, this turns out to be a redemption story of kinds for Fairbanks. He has two sons with his ex-wife that are age 12 and 17, and she also had, I guess, two kids from a previous marriage that he helped raise, and he was, you know, working with endangered kids his whole life or in the school system, troubled kids. Back to the guy he killed, Matteo Condolucci. hang on. Here's a picture of him. Let me pull it up real quick and share my screen for you guys to see.
Mark was very particular about not letting us see this photo when we were prepping the show. He really wanted us to see it live in real time with him. Here we go.
Do you see it?
Look at that mustache. Yeah.
Do you see why I wanted to reveal it?
Oh my God.
Damn.
This is the guy.
He's even got glasses holders.
His mustache looks like the hair on the female Lego character. He looks like Mark Maron got ran over by a car.
He does look like Mark Maron got ran over by a car. Hopefully that appears in the video. If not, we'll impose it. Anyways.
I understand why he killed him now. I get it now.
Do you get it now? So yep. Fairbanks turned himself in writing a confession via email. Apparently when Fairbanks arrived at jail, he was greeted to a standing ovation by the inmates at the prison and a bunch of donors put money in his commissary account, and he's got like over $1,500 in free money to buy whatever the fuck he wants. He's being held without bond for first-degree murder. A Facebook group called Free James Fairbanks, started by the mother of a Florida boy Condolucci was convicted of molesting in 1994, has 257 followers, and they also have a website. Condolucci also was accused or was convicted of raping a boy a decade or so later. So
so he had fled to Indiana, or I mean, yes. Omaha. Sorry.
He's a serial boy raper. Now he's dead.
Big question though, Mark. Yeah. Did our hero identify Condolucci just by his look? Did he just know something was wrong, or did he observe him directly?
No, this is the best part of the story. We're going to get to it. So at the top of this page is the confession email, which I would like to read to you now from our boy, James Fairbanks.
Yes.
And he says, "Dear media, I'm writing this email to let you know that I killed Matteo Condolucci Thursday, May 14th, around 9:45 p.m. While out apartment searching and checking the neighborhoods I wanted to live in, I stumbled across his sex offender registry info. I read where he had molested, raped two children, and been convicted twice. He'd only served 2 years in prison for raping children. Seeing his address was right around the block from where I was looking to move. I drove by, and to my horror, he was standing in his driveway pretending to wash his truck, no soap or water, just a rag, while staring at a group of children playing in the street. I watched him for a few minutes and just felt sick to my stomach. He just kept staring at them. The kids thankfully left, and he went inside. I went to drive away and noticed to my amazement, this twice convicted sex offender had a playground set in his backyard, no fence, just a slide and playhouse. I felt sick to my stomach, having had my own experience with these type of predators. I knew the damage he would do to those kids. It agonized me for days. I couldn't sleep. Blah, 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 blah. He killed him."
Yeah.
Sounds like he should have killed him. Jesus.
He sounds like a detective as well. He's had no water with the car wash, and then he sees the playground in the backyard, the mustache.
Oh, bells were clicking. He knew what was going on. Last sentence was, "I will face far more severe punishment for stopping him than he did for raping kids, but I can no longer do this." He also mentions the woman who started the website, or like who mentioned, I don't know how that worked out, because he wasn't arrested yet. Why would she have a Free James thing? But one kid's mother had created a predator Facebook page about him, trying to warn people about him. Her son had been assaulted by him when he was five, and the damage he did led to this poor guy. So he did a lot of detective work, and he killed him. And now he's like a hero. He's like a hero in the town.
Yeah, I mean, good enough to get a standing O at the prison. That's
get that
good.
Guy out of fucking jail. He's just taking care of his community. Creepy kid touchers broke it.
There's a lot of action going into that, Pat. The website, the Facebook group, and there's people are atting Donald Trump to pardon him. We'll see. Man.
That's happening. We'll get that off unpredicted.
Oof. That was brought to you by Omaha Steaks.
All right. Let's move over to a quick one from Bolivia. Three young boys in Bolivia were hospitalized earlier this month after spending the day tending goats. So what could cause a hospitalization after tending goats, you ask? Well, the 8, 10, and 12-year-old boys in Chayanta, Bolivia, taunted a black widow spider with a stick. Just kept poking a black widow spider with a stick until the black widow bit all three of them. And they did that because they thought it would turn them into Spider-Man.
Three.
Idiots.
Yeah. Well, also, kind of like sex offenders, you're that dumb. Sorry.
Well, 8, 10, and 12, I mean, young. The 12-year-old, really.
Also, slow. How slow are you?
The 12-year-old's a real
the spider
dickhead.
Got all three of them? It got all three of them?
They were purposely doing it.
That's why they should have had a good eye on the spider and kept it, you know, a couple feet away from them.
What that they wanted to get bit. What are you're missing that point.
They wanted to turn into Spider-Man, Pat.
Yeah.
Right. So after being escalated through three hospitals, all the way to the Children's Hospital at the capital city of La Paz, they got serum treatment for the venom, and they were finally released after a week later, having recovered from the cramping and fevers brought on by the Black Widow bite. Still no words if they develop special powers.
Yeah, you know that spider in Spider-Man does look like a fucking Black Widow, too.
They should have gone like it.
They should have gone with a less poisonous looking spider.
Good point, Mark. Taking it to Facebook, Jerome N. He says, "I wonder if the parents will try to sue Marvel Comics because of what you just mentioned," which I hope not. And then Tina Martz, she's generation shaming. She says, "This is our future," as in nobody her age ever did stupid shit like that.
Mm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Good for you, Tina.
Jeff, Tina's a fucking angel.
Just throwing this out there. This is one of those boys' faults. Just one.
The oldest one.
Yeah, 12.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys, let's bring this to the end of our show on Wednesdays. We do a fun thing where we read 5-star reviews. What does that mean? Well, check it out. Our podcast grows when we get 5-star reviews on iTunes. It's huge for us, iTunes, Apple Podcasts. So if you go on Apple Podcasts and you give Hard Factor a 5-star review, we'll read it, no matter what the fuck it says. Could be mean, could be clever, could be dumb, could be sad. Well, I don't care. Today's 5-star review is from Z-Man in Minneapolis. Great name. Bring back Robert Appetizer, a.k.a. Bobby Apps. Been reading Barstool since 2005, listening to Hard Factor every day since February this year. All four of you work so well together. You guys are hilarious. And people that can't tell the voices apart, they're just slow. Really appreciate your take on politics and news. My hypothetical question is this. You were on a weekend vacation to Vegas with a group. Maybe it's Mark's bachelor party. You need to share a hotel room. Your options are the mayor of Bowling Green, Kentucky, the author of the Incel Manifesto, Kim Jong-un, or Mike Pence, and his wife, obviously. Who do you roll with, or who do you room with, and why? Z-Man.
I can tell you who it's not going to be, the incel guy or Mike Pence and his wife, because the incel guy can't get laid to save his life, and Mike Pence doesn't want to have any fun.
I think so it's obviously Kim Jong-un. I think it's
probably,
obviously Kim Jong-un.
Probably Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. I mean, right. I didn't know. Yeah, I was just going to immediately say Kim Jong-un.
He's also the smallest.
Well, the mayor.
He's also the most paid.
Richest.
You're going to have security detail. You're going to have all kinds of different shit being brought to your room.
Pleasure squad.
He brings you the pleasure squad. Are you kidding me? The mayor of Bowling Green, you know, is second, but he's going to like. He's weird. He's like kidnapping people instead of trying to like have fun.
Of course, Kim Jong-un might toss you in the piranha tank. So,
well, you got to watch.
High risk, high reward.
You got to mind your P's and Q's. And
he didn't bring his piranhas.
Certainly don't want to get on a plane with him to North Korea.
Yeah. Great question.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's get into voicemails. This first voicemail is from a longtime Hard O Hive member. You know who it is.
What's up, fellas? It's Big Ounce. Just wanted to offer up a big old congratulations to get yourselves that radio spot. Listen to that. That was badass. Boys are on the radio. Fuck yeah. Cheers to that. All right, that takes it there. Brings me to my question. So, you guys did the debate, and the third round, you said it was a little bit of a surprise. So, you got me thinking, for the listener debates, will you be, like, doing, like, hey, you got the first two to prepare for, like, here's the first two topics, and then when you record and you're like, oh, here's the third one, and it's just surprised both the listeners, and they get to debate it on the fly with no preparation, because that'd be pretty fun. All right, boys, just thought. Have a good one.
Yes, Big Ounce, that's the exact plan.
That's exactly it. Something that got cut out today on radio for time was that you don't always necessarily argue something that's meaningful for you to participate. It's going to be two topics given out to the two participants. Each of them is going to get to choose which side they want to take on each one of those first two topics. And then the third, like you said, Big Ounce, is the mystery topic. So you might end up arguing a point that you really care about, 100% agree with. You might end up arguing something that's just the other side of the debate. That's debating. Embrace debate. You know,
yeah, for example,
you just gotta win the debate.
Here's a great topic. Should Big Ounce have thought ahead and gotten a hive before he ordered the bees to his house?
Probably all of the materials. Sure.
Right. Big Ounce has got a lot of bee stings. Yeah. He's not allergic to bees.
If you're on the debates, I'm gonna request a beekeeping update.
Yeah, that's kind of was hoping we'd get that. All right, guys, and that's going to do it for Hard Factors. We will get to our boy from West Virginia and Bob the Ripper's voicemails on Friday. Hey, guys, we got new merch out. Please check it out. It's the dopest Hard Factor tee that we've put out. Also, it's a Hard Factor tee. It's straight up Hard Factor. You can rep the pod. It says Hard Factor on it. It reps Macho Man. Wes put like a lot of Illuminati symbols into it that you'll be finding for months. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. It's a lot of fun. It's like a puzzle. By the way, if you missed it, what Big Ounce was talking about is we're now on Barstool's Sirius XM radio channel 3 days a week on Power 85. We will be back on tomorrow and then back on Monday. So Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday is when we're on the show, 11 a.m. Eastern. Be sure to check it out. Sirius is free right now. Hey, guys, We do want debaters. Big Ounce, you sounded a little bit scared. That's okay, buddy. You come and you debate with us. I know you can do it. If you have an, if you think you can argue with someone on our show, if you want to, if there's a subject matter that you really want to go at, DM the Hardo Hive. They'll give you a form. We'll get you set up. We'll get you on the show. Have a great fucking day.
See you later. Yeah.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead.